Okay, some of you may wonder why go to a raised pulpit. Part of the reason for that is this is part of our Reformed tradition, and the idea that we're Calvinist in nature, and Calvin believed that when you spoke about the Word of God, it should be from an elevated position. That's why I'm up here. The fact that I'm only 5'8", it allows you to see me better, too. That helps a lot. Okay, so let's start with a couple chips. That may seem proper, right? I mean, after all, you are at St. Andrew. We're talking about the idea of what is the most holy. So let me give you three jokes. What kind of friend should you always take to dinner? Your taste buds. Get it? Your buds. Taste buds. I'm getting groaning here. I don't know what y'all are doing on Facebook land. Okay. All right, what chefs are so cruel? Why are chefs so cruel? They're always beating the eggs. Okay, and the third one, since we're talking about food, that's how I started. What's the most religious cheese? You know what it is? Swiss cheese, because it's got the most holes. That's what makes it holy. All right, so by the way, they didn't laugh here, but if you thought it was funny in Facebook land, go ahead and put a laugh emoji up. We'd love to have that be part of it. Hey, this is part of our continuation in the series on 1 Peter. I started 2 weeks ago. I wasn't here last week. And we're going to go all the way till we're done with Peter. And hear what Peter has to say to us. Part of why we're doing this with Peter is the understanding that Peter was in a most confusing, contentious time. Like we are today. How appropriate. Peter went through a time in which people were at odds with each other. They were at odds with each other religiously, ethnically, and also there was a lot of confusion as to whether Christians would be allowed to live. So this letter is so appropriate for us at this time. Now we begin the second section what we're looking at, with a hinge word. Hinge word is a word that is placed in our scripture that highlights what came before as a continuation of what's coming next. So the hinge word here is therefore. In the scriptures at home, you might have had the word since. It indicates that the discussion Peter was building impacts directly on the discussion next to come. The hinge word is critical. So that we understand it's not two separate thoughts. It's one that's tied together. Just like if you go from your living room into a bedroom and you go through a door, it's not like you have two separate houses. You have one. The door is the continuation piece. It's the hinge. You go from one room into another room. And so that's what we have here with the word therefore. The first 12 verses talk about the salvation of God. The last 13 verses, how do you do that? What's it look like? Who are you when you say, I'm saved by God? So let's review the first 12. For those who might not have heard that, or 2 weeks was a long time ago. Salvation is something we receive in Jesus, and according to Peter, it's an inheritance. When you place yourself in Christ, you are guaranteed this inheritance. With it comes three words, three thoughts, three qualities that never diminish. The inheritance is imperishable, undefiled, unfading. Since it comes from God, salvation, it will never die. It's eternal in nature. When we're connected to an eternal God, connected in the sense that Jesus came, died for us, when we're connected, this salvation that Jesus brings to us is eternal because it continues off into being with God, who's eternal. This salvation is effected through Jesus in the sense that everything part of us that was defiled is now taken away. Through the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that which was plaguing us, our sin, was removed. And because it was removed, no longer are we defiled, and we can now enjoy the salvation that is undefiled. With this, 2 weeks ago, I used the analogy of honey. You know, honey is one of the only foods that never spoils. it never goes bad. They found it in Pharaoh's tombs. That's how honey can be preserved. And so salvation's like honey, in the sense it's undefiled, because it gives us an opportunity to be sweet to the world. It's sweet to us, and then we're sweet to the world. In other words, we flavor the world, woo, in a really good fashion. Honey also allows us to see through God's eyes. All those distinctions that we humans make falls by the wayside, because we see the core of who we are. We're made in the image. We're made in the likeness. We're made like God, to be in picture of God. Honey also expresses to us that the way to make change is not quick and destructive. Your honey, when you pour it, you gotta have some patience here, because it's slow. But the way to change, the way of love, it's slow. But it is the most effective way to make change. Finally, salvation, the third long-lasting word, is it's unfading. It's new and fresh each and every day. Every day we have the opportunity to demonstrate the love and grace, the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Then comes what Peter said, the therefore, the since word, the hinge word. And he's talking about the salvation that we have been given in Jesus Christ. What difference does that make in our world and the world that surrounds us? He now says salvation isn't just a state in which we live, guaranteed that we'll be in eternity. It's a way in which we live now. It's a new way of living in this world today. It's the state we're in Jesus, yes, but it's the reality we enjoy here in this world. The phrase I used 2 weeks ago, if you say you're saved, act like you're saved. Peter put it a different way. And this is in verse 14 of what I read today. He said, do not be conformed to your former lusts when you were in ignorance. In other words, when you were unsaved. So he starts off with a three-part way of doing this. You know, we humans, we want a plan. We have to have a plan. Peter just didn't say, act like you're saved. He said, here's how you do it. Three parts. And the three parts go like this. Our scripture today said, prepare your minds. The actual biblical word is gird up your minds. Now, I don't know how many of y'all speak this way nowadays. I doubt few of you do. But girding up is a way of preparing yourself for what's coming next. It's your preparation moment. You prepare your mind for the battle ahead. And the battle ahead, it's simple. It's our spirit against our flesh. The battle ahead, simple. It's salvation or sin. The battle ahead, do you live for good or do you live for evil? That's the battle. It's a battle that takes place inside of us and a battle that takes place outside of us. It's all around us. For those temptations do surround us. And so when Peter said, gird up your mind, prepare your mind, he said, prepare your mind. So that you can ignore the temptations, you can forsake them, you can withstand the sin that seems to try and creep into your life. So how do we prepare? How do we prepare our mind? We put that at the end of that section I read. It's by knowing Scripture. That's why I said the Word of God survives or lasts forever. The way in which we prepare our minds is by reading and knowing our Scripture. Now you've heard this said again and again and again, right? And yet, we humans, we American Christians, don't seem to hear it. Gallup did a poll about 5 years ago. You know, Gallup does polls on everything, and they did a religious poll. Here's their summary of the poll. It's a quote. Americans revere the Bible, but by and large, they don't read it. Because they don't read it, they become a nation of biblical illiterates. End of quote. We love the Bible. We think it's important, but we never pull it off the shelf to read it. That's the summary of Gallup. Now you think, oh, well, wait a second, hold on. George doesn't echo George Gallup. Maybe he's stretching a bit. Well, here's his summary. He asked American Christians to name the four Gospels. Half of American Christians did not know the four Gospels. 50%. 60% did not know more than 5 of the Ten Commandments. That's a little longer past, okay? It's a lot more time you have to learn that. 12% thought that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. Sad, isn't it? There's more to the study. I just hit the big highlights, not the one you laughed at especially. But in order for us to live as we are saved, we have to know how to live as we are saved, and that's where the scriptures come into play. We oftentimes think, as long as my heart is in line with God, I'm okay. But in reality, our heart can lead us astray. Our heart can go down a path that sometimes is not appropriate. That's why we have to gird up our minds. Notice Peter didn't say, gird up your hearts. He said, gird up your minds. Prepare your mind for the time which your heart may look the wrong way. We need the power of the will, that's where our mind comes in, to keep us connected to God. We need the power of our mind to override a heart that may go awry. We need the power of our mind to decide that we're going to love a person even when they've been cruel and hateful. That's power of the mind. The heart said, power of the mind is, I'm going to love them because that's what God did for me. We need the power of the mind to convince us to be in the right place for the right reason. And that then is the right time. The Apostle Paul agreed with Peter on this. If you go to Romans, Romans is that huge signature theological work. We're studying that in our adult Sunday school class. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the Apostle Paul, along with Peter, highlights that the mind is critical to navigate in our world today, in which there's so many issues, there's so many problems, there's so many things coming in our way. How do we think about them? And thus, how do we respond to them? We need to prepare our mind. And so it's critical for us to have our daily scripture readings. Daily scripture readings. If you don't know how to, you know, what's the plan, go to any one of those websites out there, whether it be Guideposts, to give a plan. Each and every newsletter, I put what's the scripture for the month, for the day, each day of the month, so you can hear what God's trying to tell us. And of course, the Sunday School Bible study, and you've chosen today to come to worship to hear about the scripture. That's part one. We've got to prepare our minds. Part two, and on the scripture, Annette, can you pull that scripture back up real quick? Okay, you see it says discipline yourselves, right? Did I get the right word out there? Nod your head if I got the right word. Discipline, right? Okay, the scripture I looked up, it was be sober. And then always adding in this part, be sober in your spirit. And that's the actual key, the Greek word. It's translated be calm. Be vigilant to keep your spirit in check or in line with God. Literally, this is self-control. This is keeping yourself in control so that we give glory to God. The way the continuation works, if you've been saved, you show it, and you show it by controlling yourself. The way you do that, you read the scripture. When you've read the scripture, the Spirit helps you to control yourself. And the key here is to realize that we're not to be off running and buying into things of the world. We're to use godly methods to solve human problems. That's why we've been given the scripture, to use godly methods to solve the issues that we face with us today. The third thing that's on that scripture is the hope and the grace of Jesus Christ. The stain of sin that we have when we sin. So when sin comes in, it literally, like, stains us. It makes it harder for us to think biblically. That's why we needed the cross of Jesus Christ. And when the cross of Jesus Christ came in, it wiped the stain out. So that with sin gone, we're free to serve Christ. We're free to choose God. We're free to live as God intended. So these are the three things that the Apostle Peter brings to us. We're to prepare our minds. We're to discipline ourselves. In other words, be sober in our spirit. And we're to have that hope in Jesus Christ and the forgiveness we have. This is so we can live in holiness. The whole goal of his discussion from verse 1 all the way through that Old Testament quote is to say that we're to live in holiness as our God is holy. And interesting, he pulls a quote out of Leviticus. That's where Peter pulls it. Right in the middle of Leviticus, with all those laws and those rules and those regulations, there comes this incredible quote. Be holy as I am holy, says your God. That's the goal. Salvation given to us. We're to act like we're saved, so we can show the holiness of God. Interestingly enough, in the middle of the book of Leviticus is the core of why we live in the boundaries God has given to us, so that we can demonstrate the holiness of God. Now, the reason why we do this, the reason why we demonstrate love and use love as the principle of how we function in this world today, is because the world needs us. The world desperately needs us to demonstrate what it means to be holy, what it means to have the love of God, that we're willing to serve a higher purpose in how we live out our lives. You know, love is more difficult. That's fair to say. It's a lot easier to call names. It's a lot easier to tear down than it is to build up in love. That's harder. But that is the way of God. Remember, God is long time faithful. There's a book written by Mark Leary. It's called The Curse of Self. I've only read reviews of it. I read the jacket about it. I haven't actually read the book, but I loved what the book was about. And it says, this is on the jacket, we are the only creatures capable of self-reflection. Animals think, but not in a self-reflective way like us. And when you read a little bit farther into the description of the book, it says, when we focus on ourselves solely, that leads to depression and unhappiness. Did you hear that? That when all of our viewpoint is inward, we go down. That's why we Christians need to highlight the fact. Yes, we need to work on ourselves internally, but we need to do it all for a grander, a greater purpose of serving the Almighty God, of demonstrating His holiness in this world. And when we do that, we lift our spirits. And others then notice this incredible moment. And see, God did this through the cross. He removed the barrier that kept us down, which is the barrier of sin. Through Jesus Christ, we're allowed the freedom to live with this incredible purpose of showing forth we are better than all those issues there. We can lift others up and we can demonstrate their holiness. And the way to do that is the threefold way that Peter highlighted. Gird up your minds, prepare your thoughts, be disciplined, show self-control, and then have the greater hope of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to show this to you. This is your extended children's message moment. Okay? Now, here's how this looks. First and foremost, glass of water. Oh, boy, I needed that. Okay. This is how we are made of God. This is sin. Actually, this is dirt from outside. Okay? But give you an idea how the world can influence us and affect us and drag us down. If we put sin in our lives and leave it there, this is what it looks like to the world and to God. Okay? Now, I would not take a drink out of that because it would be gross and disgusting. But what the world needs from Christians, American Christians, is the ability to show what does God look like. So that's why the cross was given to us. Let's set this one aside. In the cross of Jesus Christ, all that sin, that stain is taken away so we can show to the world the holiness of God. Once again, tastes really good. Here's the problem. The moment you say you're saved, remember you're on a track. You're on a track to demonstrate that you belong to God. You're on a track to demonstrate that you are one of God's own. The moment you try and add in the issue of sin, it's like oil and water. there's something wrong. The world knows there's something wrong. And it kind of like creates like this weird bubbling inside of you. I don't know if y'all can see that. The oil just won't add to it. But you know there's something wrong in here. And so this is why we need to follow the three-part series that Peter gave for us. We need to prepare our minds so that we stay away from sin. We need to then embrace discipline so that we don't add sin to our lives. And the whole goal is to demonstrate the hope that comes with knowing the grace of Jesus Christ. Let's get God in prayer. Thank you, wonderful God, for the amazing way our lives have been touched by you. The gift of your Son, Jesus, what an incredible gift that is. As he's added life to our life, may we add life to this world. That's the whole intention of you coming towards us and within us and providing salvation, is so that we can make a difference in this world. We thank you for the fact that you've given us tools. You've given us a biblical way of dealing with earthly solutions. You've given us the power of love to be able to counteract the fierceness of hate. We thank you, great God, for the opportunity to lift up your love in this world. And it all comes through Jesus Christ. Amen.